This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
All right.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. I'll tell you what, we've got a very, very, very special guest. I'm just going to read. I'm just going to pick up in my book from the chapter on this gentleman right here next to us. And this was 80 years ago today, basically, okay? When the Battle of the Bulge started in the middle of December, we were near the Rhine River. We didn't know anything was going to happen. The only problem was the weather. The coldest nights we'd ever seen. During the day, it was cloudy, foggy, and snowy, but we were relaxed. Things were pretty quiet. When the Germans did hit our front lines, they just pushed our infantry straight back. I don't know how many miles it turned out to be. I know we had to keep moving up through the deep snow for 3 days straight. They told us to be on alert for anything on the ground. In the sky, it didn't matter. Anything that came our way, shoot it down. From what we could tell, the Germans weren't stopping for anything. They told us to stay in the middle of fields, not in villages or towns, because we had to be able to see the German planes coming over. If there was even one tree in a field, we'd wrap a primer cord around it and knock it down so it didn't get in our way. I will say this, though. It's a miracle with the way they kept us fed. We had a lot of hot meals. I don't know how they kept us in food and supplies and everything, but they did. If they didn't cook something, they made sure we had rations at least. Those supply guys, food guys, ammunition guys, those were unsung heroes. As soon as the weather cleared, our bombers and fighters came in. And I'll tell you, they just blew that place apart. They attacked for 2 to 3 days straight. The sky was black with them going over during the day, and you could read a newspaper at night from the light of so many bombs exploding. When the crowd started fleeing, they blew up the bridges behind them. Our army engineers had to build pontoon bridges. They did it at night and under attack the entire time. They would build them in 1 day. The infantry and tanks went across first. We're right behind them. Once we're in Germany, we went through the Black Forest. That was a tough-looking area. Those pillboxes they had there were about 3 feet thick. Our tanks took care of them. The big thing you had to worry about were mines all over the place. 1 day, we came upon a concentration camp. We could smell burnt flesh before we even got to it. It was full of displaced people. Jewish people, Polish, Italian, all different nationalities. They were people who had been healthy and strong enough to work for the Germans. Now they were so skinny there was nothing left to them, and all they had on was rags. I was fluent in Polish, so I started talking to them. They told me they got one meal a day, hot water with a piece of beet in it. It was a type of beet we used to use to feed our cows in the winter. We took care of them and fed them, but some of them were just too far gone. They were beyond help. We didn't know these kind of camps even existed. We went to a crematorium. Some of the bodies weren't completely burnt. They're just piles of bones. It was terrible. You could see empty canisters of the poison they had dropped down at the people who thought they were going to be taking showers. We would ask the German people what happened, about why they killed all the Jews and those other workers. Nobody admitted to knowing anything. They kept saying they had no idea. All they said was that the Germans wouldn't do anything like that. Pretty soon, word of mouth got to us. There were big pits around where the crowds had lined up people, shot them, and covered them up with bulldozers. Other people said the guards would build wood piles and put the bodies on them and set them on fire. But the German citizens kept saying they didn't know anything about it. I don't know about that. One day, one of the Polish prisoners asked me if I could get some potatoes, so I bought him a couple of bags. I figured they were going to eat them. He wanted them to make moonshine. I don't think it was a week before they made it. They gave us some and warned me not to drink. It was powerful stuff.
Yeah. Thank God for the potatoes.
And the gentleman sitting next to us lived through that, Jack Krasinski. Jack, my friend, 100 years old, 80 years ago today, that was you in the middle of all of that.
Yeah.
Welcome, my friend. How are you?
Pretty good.
Do you remember all that stuff still to this day?
Well, some of it, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, most of it I remember, yeah. I remember the Buchenwald where they poisoned all these people and the guys that were able, that after they were dead, they had to take them to the crematorium and burn them. And I never knew they were doing that. None of us knew it. So that made us a little angry at the Germans, so we had no mercy on him after that.
Well, we got our good friend Dennis Peter's from the Glam Band. He was an artilleryman in the United States Army, just like you were. And you guys have a special relationship, no matter what era, don't you, Dennis?
Indeed, family. We're brothers. Brothers, indeed. Yeah, no matter what, you know, there's some common ground, no matter what.
But the respect you have for these type of gentlemen.
Oh, indeed, without a doubt. I mean, it's just without you, where would we be? You know.
Yeah.
You know.
But talk about living history of gone through it and. Jim, you're a huge historian type guy, you know, with the history of Green Bay and everything, but isn't this great to have this gentleman sitting here?
I was talking to him out in the lobby and how spry you are and with it at 100. I mean, that's great. Happy birthday. I mean, my...
Yeah. Well, I feel pretty good, you know.
You look fantastic.
You do. Yeah. You really do.
I was pretty sick about 6 months ago, but a Polish lady that's from Poland was my caretaker, and I told her I got a chance to go to Normandy, but I'll never make it, you know. And she said, you'll make it. You do what
Isn't
I do,
nice?
You know.
Yeah.
And we joked around, and she got me through. And, it was great to be able to celebrate the 80th anniversary of World War II. But
what was that like going back to Normandy, Jack?
Oh, I didn't remember too much of it. All I remembered is when we got off the water, you know, off the Dinglish Channel, and we drove roving trucks. I was operating a 50 caliber machine guns.
Ooh.
We had four of them in a
quad
anchored. Quad, oh. Yeah. And then I'd sit in the turret, and that was a good job, hey. We wore special glasses, and every fourth round was a tracer, so you couldn't miss them, you know. Oh man! And we had so much firepower that anybody that came through never went back home.
No kidding.
Oh boy. That was fun.
Beat in a video game, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
But, yeah.
And you said that you got angry when you found out more.
Well, we didn't think the Germans were doing that, killing all these Jews, you know.
Right.
And not only Jews, but old people and everything. They'd bring them in there by carloads and burn them up. They'd tell them they're going to take showers. They took their clothes off and put them all in the big room, and they put the cyanide in through the roof, and it was shortly after.
They took anything of value they could find, you know, with gold, you know, gold teeth, things of that nature, anything, you know, just, man. Yeah.
So how has it been? I mean, it's a long time ago, 80 years. Are you pleased with that people remember, or what? How do you think the country is embracing, recognizes your, that war?
Sacrifice, yeah.
Well, you mean our country?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We don't talk about the war very much.
When you came back, you did not at all, did you?
No. I was married to my wife 6 years. We never talked about the war. She never asked me, and I never told her.
Wow.
I think I would have, you know.
Right.
Some things, but she didn't want to know either. So.
But didn't you say you came back, and didn't your folks, like, you just walked into your house in the middle of the night, and your folks were, who's there? And it's like, Jack, I'm home from the war. It's like, okay, see you in the morning. Right?
Who's that guy?
Yeah.
What's in the fridge? Wow.
Yeah, I got off the bus, and we lived off the highway a little ways, and I had my clothes, and in the middle of the night, I got off the bus, and the bus driver says, where are you going? He says, I live over here, just a mile away. He says, I can take you there. I said, no, I can walk, so.
Gee. Wow. That's incredible.
I mean, I'm thinking these big homecoming parades.
You're not, you're obviously not angry. You're happy. I mean, you seem like you have a great disposition on life.
Yeah. We had a welcoming when we had, what do you call that? We went to Washington, D.C., the memorials.
Oh, yeah.
On the way home, there were so many people who welcomed us.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. That honor flight.
That was a big welcome party.
Oh, yeah. Well deserved, too.
Yeah. But other than that, there was no parties for us or anything.
Right. And you came back and went to work?
Resumed what you were doing before.
Yes. Wow.
Dennis, you were the same age as Jack when you were in the Army.
No.
What? No.
I'm
no,
different.
No, but I'm just saying this. I mean, but you...
Most people were.
We don't realize sometimes how young our soldiers are.
Oh, for sure.
That's the
for
thing
sure.
I'm trying to get at.
They
you know what I mean?
Seasoning,
we send
yeah.
these young kids to war.
Right.
You're a kid, weren't you, Jack?
Right. 18.
Yeah.
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 And, someone's younger, you know?
Well, if you volunteered and they didn't catch you, you had to be 18, you know. But I was 18 when I got in, and I was 21 when I got out. But, hey, every kid should go to the Army for a year or two.
I agree.
There's countries that do that.
They teach you so many things, you know. Respect, and
discipline.
Discipline, everything.
And a love for your country, too.
Work ethic.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, there's other countries that do that for 2 years. Yeah. And I think that's been talked about, and I'm not opposed to that either. I mean, we have a lot more incentives for people to go now than we did when you were there, right, in terms of education and things when they get back. But so what do you do now? You're 100 years old. You're in great shape. What's like a day like?
Oh, I get up, I lay around, watch TV a little while, and then I get something to eat, and then I get something to drink, and it just... I go places a lot.
You're sought after. I mean, everybody wants to talk to you, right?
Oh, yeah. I got some friends. We'd go out and eat.
I mean, but even the media would like to. We've been trying to get you on here for a year, so.
You're a tough act to get into the studio.
You are. Yeah. You really are.
But, Jack, you know, we're talking about, again, with Dennis, with these young kids. I mean, is there something that the government knows to send these really young kids to war? Because... And I hate to put it this way, but almost like they don't know any better and they'll take these orders and do
that's
whatever.
Exactly that, first, it.
That's it. We didn't know any better and we did what they told us.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, some days were a lot of fun. Some days weren't. But
talk about when it was so cold, you guys would try to get into hay bales or something?
Oh, yeah. That cold, I'd take straw off. They had raised a lot of mangoes. We fed that to our cows, and that's what these prisoners were eating. They'd give them that with a little bit of boiled water. Anyhow, we'd steal the straw off of there and put it in a hole in the ground, and it was miserable. I never slept in a building from the time we left, got into France till the war was over.
Wow.
Day and night, and it was, some days were miserably cold, you know. The Battle of the Bulge was goddamn cold.
Okay, that's cold.
We'll let that go.
He's 100. Let him go.
You guys had no idea how big of a battle. Because didn't you guys pretty much think you were going to be home by Christmas, the war was over?
Yeah.
Can you describe that, Jack?
Yeah.
That you guys thought it was over, and then all of a sudden the Germans come out with this huge offensive against you?
Yeah. Well, we were on the left flank, so they didn't... We never had a move. We were dug in, and our job was to shoot down the strafing planes and the low-flying bombers, and... Hey, we had lots of firepower. In our battalion, we had 64 guns.
Wow.
And they'd line them up along the side of the roads, you know. And then nobody could get through. There's no way they could make it because nobody took credit for it when they came down because you got, 50, 60 guys shooting at them.
Yeah.
And
there's more coming, too.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Coming.
Jack, stick around. Yeah. Jack Krasinski.
Krasinski.
What 100? Did I pronounce it wrong all the time?
Krasinski. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, finally.
I'm Italian. We're not smart. 100 years old. 80 years ago today, he was in the midst of the Battle of the Bulge. Back after this. Tell me it's black when I know that it's white. Always the same. It's just a shame, and that's all.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. Okay, I'm never going to say your last name, Jack, because you always say I say it wrong. Krasinski.
Krasinski, yeah.
Krasinski.
Yeah.
80 years ago today, he was in the middle of the Battle of the Bulge, the worst battle United States history has ever been in as far as casualties. But you made it back. But we got to talk about the other things, though, Jack. You know, we talk about, you know, people coming home from war, and you think they're, you know, you got these ticker tape parades. Talk about, like, okay, you come back from the war, right after fighting in the war, and what happened the very first day you were home? What, your old boss?
Yeah, my old boss said, you can come work for me again. I said, no. I said, no. Please, you know, yeah, he got me come back. And to this day, I feel I did a good thing because he got sick after I learned the cheese-making business and went to Madison for a short course. He got sick. And he couldn't make cheese, and I already was a pretty good cheese maker. I used to run 10,000 pounds of milk a day, making the cheese every day.
Wow.
I had a couple of helpers, but anyhow.
And then you went from cheese down to Milwaukee.
Down to Milwaukee.
Boy, you are a Wisconsin guy. What'd you do in Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Where'd you work down there in Milwaukee?
Schlitz, yeah. Schlitz in Milwaukee, yeah.
Making beer.
Making beer.
So yeah, cheese and beer? You're the guy.
I guess. Uh-huh. I was going to say it's like,
why didn't you run for governor?
Okay, you mentioned something during the break, though. You guys were allowed to drink at work?
Yeah. I always asked for a job where I could be active, you know. So we're out unloading boxcars and feeding the line. And, we each had a quart of beer. And it's wintertime. And then right next to the car, it's snow. And we had our bottles in the snow. And the boss came around. And he says, what them bottles doing in the snow? We got to keep them cold. He said, you crazy fools. He said, I don't care what you do. Just as long as I get enough cases in, you know.
Yeah, well.
It was fun working there.
I bet. Man.
Dennis, different era.
I could say, I mean, it's this guy is Wisconsin true and true, as they say. Yeah. Not through and through, but true and true. Yes. Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. So awesome.
But they let you drink at work. What were the rules?
Well, as long as you didn't get drunk, too drunk to go home, they took you home. But if you got drunk the second day or the next time, then you got 3 days off.
Okay.
That was your punishment for drinking too much. Wow. Well, you could drink all you want, as long as you could do your job. They don't care how much you drink.
I'll be darned.
It's not like that anymore.
And you couldn't stay.
Wow.
Yeah. And then after your shift was over, you could stay a half hour longer. Then you were off of their payroll. You could drink all you wanted, but half an hour later, you get out. You know?
Wow. That's like work for the mayor's office when he was in power.
You got 30 minutes. Get your fun in and get out of here.
Wow. That's
awesome.
Saved you a few bucks, too. I mean, drinking on the house. Yeah.
But you'd be surprised. Everybody didn't drink a lot.
Yeah.
You drank it every day a little bit. You're with it all the time. You know, you could have all you wanted.
Right.
Hey, Jack, you told me this story about when you guys were cold and almost starving or whatever, and didn't like a French guy make you some soup that you said? Yeah. Go ahead and talk about that, please.
Yeah. Anyhow, we were eating rations, dry food for quite a while. And anyhow, we're going through France real slow. We had a stop in France. Our convoy stopped and a lady came. Well, we stayed there overnight, and snow on our bedrolls when we woke up. Anyhow, this lady came out with a big bowl of vegetable soup, and she fed her, just our unit. Everybody didn't get it, just our group. And that was the best vegetable soup I ever ate in my life.
Can imagine.
And they had nothing, and they made such a good soup. Well,
did somebody bring you some brandy one time to a French guy?
They brought us a bottle of white stuff. And they call it Calvados. And there was three of us in this machine gun that we operated. So by the time we got to our place where we dug in, the three of us were laying on the floor. Our gun was in the trailer, you know. We were knocked out. Anyhow,
wow.
That was some powerful stuff.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Gee whiz.
Bring that back.
What was it made with?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh!
What did you retain anything from that war that you brought back? That treasure that you have that's near and dear to your heart, besides all these great memories?
No, I don't think
your
so. Your Mauser, I brought back.
You brought back
German Mauser.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so the Nazi insignia on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really? Did some Nazi soldier give that up voluntarily to you?
No.
Hey, we want to do something. Nikki, would you mind coming in here? Dennis's mom is a huge backer of our veterans and our people. Dennis, explain this quilt that your mom made by your hands. We're going to give to Jack here.
So her husband, my stepfather, was a Vietnam veteran, 2-time Purple Heart recipient and what have you. And and so what she was doing is she was always making blankets and things for veterans and whatnot, and over the years, John and I met and with the mayor and what have you, and we've and I'm grateful for this opportunity to present you with a blanket that my mother made.
Oh,
and
thank you very much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It's something she's been doing for years for veterans. Yeah.
Somebody gave me one a while ago, and I tell you, I'm not very strong now, so I lay in my recliner and I couldn't pick it off the chair, so I don't use it.
This is perfect
for
that.
Mrs. Miller,
this
one is perfect. Lighter.
And whenever she does one with the outdoor scenes, because I know you're a big outdoors man, I always save those for our veterans like yourself. So that one is specifically made with somebody like you in mind.
Yeah.
So that's from Dennis's mom, made that with her bare hands.
Thank her very much.
I will do that. You bet. She gets a lot of pride out of it, and it's just something to honor what you've done for us. Okay. And believe me, it's the least we can do for you.
Yeah.
Wow. So
you've got an awesome personality. I mean, 100-year thing, just how respectful. I just hope you're with the other military people. Do you get out and talk to some of the reserves?
Very seldom. I don't. Okay. My friends they were in service, but they weren't in the war or anything. They were just.
You're right.
But those guys that were in World War II, there ain't many of us around.
No, they're not. And how was your parade in Pulaski? I saw you.
Oh, is that a parade? One-man parade?
I know. I saw it.
Oh, my God. I think the whole Wisconsin was there. The streets were lined full of people, right. You know.
Well, Jack,
I was going to say, that was for you. That was not a parade. That was your parade.
My parade, yeah. One-man parade. And, oh, man, was that something.
Well, Jack, you are living history, and I'm not trying to sound whatever, but it's an honor for all of us to be sitting here with you, a man that 80 years ago was involved in one of the most dramatic things our country's ever been involved with. You were in the middle of it, the Battle of the Bulge, 80 years ago today when it started. Yeah. And God bless you, man. I'm so honored to be considered a friend of yours.
Yeah. You're a treasure, my friend. You're a treasure.
I think you should run for office, Jack.
Hey, you don't have.
I'd vote for you.
You do have the line of bull. That would work. Jack, thank you so
Merry
much,
Christmas
my friend.
To you.
Battle of the Bulge, 80 years ago today, you were there. Thank you for what you've done for our country, and thank you for being such a great representative of our veterans.
In that snow and cold, it was worse than the enemy. You know, the enemy, you could see him coming or hear him, but.
Can't shoot away the snow.
No, you're the best. We'll be back after this.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Heroicdeed.com.
Part of the show or want to share it with a friend? Check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. What an honor that was to have Jack here in the house with us. We got a nice text here from Kathy. Jack, thank you for all you have done for our country. Love your stories. I was born and raised in Milwaukee. Schlitz beer. What a great memory. Cheers. Merry Christmas. From Kathy. Thank you, Kathy. That was really nice. I had no idea about the Schlitz brewery that you could do that. That was fantastic.
I think most of the breweries you could do that.
Like really?
Like Pabst and all that kind of stuff. Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, you think liability.
That was a different time. Yeah, you know, that was times are no different. Doubt about it. But, I mean, what a, I don't know, the word incentive, but how great that is. Because you don't want people, like, sneaking or drink all you want. Just
now
don't
they
get
do
drunk.
It anyway, probably. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. But you talk about a slice of Northeast Wisconsin, worked for right Schlitz, there. And was a cheesemaker.
Right. Yep.
Now, you tell me that there's a generation that will never happen ever again.
Right. And he was a good cheesemaker, too, he's saying. So he really kind of ran the place.
I mean, that's like an art. That's like a science.
That's a science.
Type thing, right?
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt.
And 80 years ago, he's in the middle of the world, of the biggest battle in world history.
And what a...
Down to earth.
Energy and personality, and man, he.
You would not know he was 100.
No
that
way.
Gives us hope.
Yeah,
I could be like that at 100.
I don't know if you will. Just being honest with you.
He's also thin.
What do you think? What's so funny, Ace?
I don't know, man.
What?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Ace is over here like this. Oh, hey. Really? Okay. I could be a good, what's it called? Centurion? Centurion? What's it when you're 100?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could be that.
Yeah. It sounds like some alien race or something.
All right, whatever.
Ace, what do you got going on? Ace Champion. Good Buffalo event coming up.
How
have you been? You've been on our show a number of times. We've been to, the last time was at Preble when you did your cooking with your chefing with the symphony.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. That was
fun. So what's been going on and what's coming up?
Just expanding, just getting the music out there, still cooking, doing my thing. Ironically, I found this awesome sound studio called Balance on Buffalo.
Really?
And I'm good Buffalo.
Right.
So, you know, it's almost like it was meant for me. Yeah, they have these huge, they call them SoundCloud like pillows that you sleep on or that you relax on. So it's maximum comfortability. Great acoustics in the room, and it's in Manitowoc. It's this coming Friday. It's just for about an hour and a half from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and it's only $35. You can get your pre-tickets right now.
So, in Manitowoc?
In Manitowoc, yeah. First time in Manitowoc.
Nice. Performing, so what are people going to hear, see, witness, experience?
Well, you know, I show up with about 24, 25 different flutes, all my other different sound instruments, and she has an array of sound instruments from string to bowls and stuff, so I'll be playing some of her stuff too as well. Just bring your stress and get ready to leave it at the door, because it's almost a guarantee that it will be gone by the time that hour and a half is up.
And this is that music that is played for certain parts of the body.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
You should talk about that. You have some flute that helps with your digestive system, other things with your mental. And
it's
very cool, and I've been to that a couple times. And
I saw you sleeping over there.
Yeah, sorry, man. It's just those chairs. Those pretty comfortable chairs.
He was drifting off.
Those are the mayor's office. Are the mayor's in conference?
I was meditating. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, go ahead. Tell me a little bit more about how that music affects your body.
The flutes is all based on frequency, you know, in the different seven energy centers in the body, and each musical note is tuned to a certain frequency. So when I play, the cells try and match that. So if I play a common frequency in the key of D, like you mentioned, that works on your lower intestine area. It also works on the brainwave too as well. So I'm trying to get you in that theta state, which is right before you go to sleep, which we all know when we go to sleep, our body's going to natural detox. So there's a science behind this. This isn't just me saying, oh, you're going to get something out of it. I mean, that's why when I say it's guaranteed, if you have cells in your body, it's going to respond.
So you would take that over Ambien? I'm just kidding.
Or sleep gummies.
Right. We both have experience with those.
You got me there. That's where the fight begins.
That is so great you're doing that. So, and you still explain what you're doing up there?
I do.
Okay, I think that's important, because sometimes people get up there and it's like, what are they doing? And you kind of
Most of the time, they've never heard what a Japanese shakuhachi is or sounds like. So to give them a little brief history before I play the instrument, they can kind of connect to it a little bit more.
Okay, and again, the thing is, this isn't something that, you know, off the top of your head. This is what centuries upon centuries upon centuries upon centuries this has been going on, right?
Oh, yeah. The first flute was over 60,000 years ago, was made out of bone.
Wow. Yeah.
So, and some of the flutes that I play go back 10, 12,000 years. And the cool thing about it is they still play these flutes till this day.
So it must work.
It's got to work. At least in the Eastern world, they think it works.
That's phenomenal.
And in Manitowoc, where is this? Do you have the address?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know. And then I need your website, too. Is that? Yeah. I don't know if I have that on here. Give me that because this is a cool thing.
My website is chefchampion.com. And then the event is Sound Space USA is their LLC name, and that is 5151 Expo Drive in Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54220. That's 5151 Expo Drive, Manitowoc.
My guess is it's close to the Expo. Which is very easy to find and very easy to park and everything else. So,
there you go.
All right, that's very cool.
You know, one of the big things now, I know there used to be CDs or whatever, but one of the things on the internet now is sounds to sleep, like rain.
Yes.
And different things like that.
Yes.
What do you do things like that to help people relax to sleep? Because that's the best way for people to get a good sleep, isn't it?
I do.
To be relaxed heading into your sleep.
It is. And like I mentioned, that type of music puts your brain into the theta, which the next step is the delta. And once you're in the delta stage, you're asleep. That's your sleep realm. So remember, your cells are mimicking what it's listening to. So what you said about going to sleep is excellent. They can go on my YouTube channel, Good Buffalo Spirit 1111, and I have over 40 videos on there dedicated to sleep and relaxation.
I would love to look that up, because I want to get into something like that. Because my mind is always like racing. It's like, okay, shut it down, go to sleep. And that's when all of a sudden I start to think of the problems in my life or whatever. And it's just the opposite of what you want.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why these flutes and these instruments tap into the brain waves, because it's the brain waves that's going to put you to sleep or make you not go to sleep.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I was seeing a thing where it's called the Navy SEAL nap. Okay. And what they do, because they can only have, like, you know, at times you have 10 minutes. Okay. Right. And what they do is they lay flat on their back, but lift their legs up like it would be on the chair. And it's something about then your body doesn't fully go into the, it like rests you, but it doesn't go into that place then where it's hard to wake up.
That's type. That's the theta state.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Go ahead, talk a little bit about that. This was really interesting what I read about this.
The theta state is when your body is at its most relaxed. So the body feels like it's asleep, but the mind still understands that it's awake. And this is what all the Buddhist monks and when people go into meditation, that's the state of mind they're trying to get to, because then their mind can open up to, it's almost like they got a teeny tippy toe in the dream world,
right?
But they're still in the physical world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's called it's called the Navy SEAL nap.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool.
There's a science behind it.
Yeah.
Hey, with this music that we're going to hear, who's your partner? You're bringing somebody with you, you said?
Oh, no, just...
No, on Monday, I thought you said...
In Manitowoc.
In Manitowoc.
The lady.
No, Gina, she's the owner of the sound space. Yeah, she's going to be there. I think she's going to be participating.
Okay.
Like, as far as just getting her relax on and stuff, like getting a break. But she does the same thing, too, as well.
You know, we're joking a little bit about the gummy type thing, but what you do through music is almost the same type of thing that drugs or whatever you want to call it due to the brain, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. It's all about mind altering, you know, and putting people in a state of mind, whether that's a psychedelic mushroom or Ace Champion on Friday night.
You know,
it's just all about the frequency. But we're doing it in a non-evasive way, meaning you don't have to ingest anything. You literally just have to just sit back, relax. You don't even have to worry about calming your mind because, like I said, your cells are going to respond to the music. So if you have cells, you have no choice. You can't fight it.
Wow,
you're going up against psychedelic mushrooms, huh?
Hey,
that's quite the challenge.
You know those are our relatives, right?
Is that what Rogers? What was Rogers doing in South America?
I don't know. I think that was ashwagandha or something like that. Yeah.
There was just an article on mushrooms. Anyway,
mushrooms are actually 100% legit, and I don't mean necessarily the psychedelic ones, but just mushrooms in general. They're like these little actual entity, like people, not people like us, but I mean, they're organisms, and their job is to build and repair. So if we ingest, you know, certain type of mushrooms, it has code to know to go in there and fix whatever problem they are. So don't knock mushrooms, you know.
Wow. No, I'm not.
Start his
I'm starting my mushroom farm up in the UP next spring.
And there's more and more on mushrooms.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah. Oh, and it's been around for
years. Just like your
this
stuff.
Is nothing
but,
new.
Right.
Yeah. They say it's new age, but it's not. So we should all
partake?
Try some out next time, huh? See what happens.
The mushrooms are ace. that
was Todd with the bell. Just so anybody listening knows, that was Todd. Yeah. That's all in
both,
on this one.
Jim, both.
So Ace, tell me if somebody wants to just book your services. I mean, you will come into a party, a home. I know you do some things at the Tarleton where it's really, you add food to it too once in a while. Not this event, but
food is still my bread and butter. You know, they could reach me at chefchampion.com. You know, my cell phone's on there. My email's on there. You just reach out to me. We pick a date. I have a full menu on my website. It's pretty easy. I do corporate team building for corporations too as well. And then cooking classes at local, I mean, Mona Rose Winery, Paradise North Distillery, and Botanical Gardens.
You had something that night. We were at the Children's Museum.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You had something with that shrimp that was like so delicious that I've never been able to find again. What was that? How did you make that shrimp that night? Do you remember? I mean, you know, I know you got a million of them.
I don't want to have to kill nobody.
Yeah, you don't want to give away your secrets.
Yeah, look at this guy.
Even Jim said he bought Cajun
smoked salmon.
Those and there's something about that Cajun flavor that is so phenomenal.
It's a blend of South African, Indian, French, and Spanish. And if you look at the food part world, all those cultures stand by its own of having great food. And then when you mix them all together and put them in a little spice bottle, you get a taste of all of those cultures. And I think that's really what makes New Orleans food stand out. It's a blend. And that's what I try and do with these flutes is, hey, let me play flutes from different countries and blend them together and look how much better they sound.
Well, let's hear
a
little something, my friend.
A little bit of that.
This one's for my man Todd right here.
Oh man, I gotta talk about like a rainstorm.
Yeah,
check this out.
Yeah, so this is it's come from the Ukraine. So this is a rav drum. So if you've ever been to a rave or anything like that, on the mushrooms we were talking about, this is one of the ones. And this is the African tune one.
Okay. Right.
Wake up, John.
I know. Wow. That's awesome. What? But you said it's Ukraine. I wouldn't think that of being Ukraine.
I know. Right. I know. Oh, they party hard out there. Ukraine, Russia, they do a lot of the rave parties and the what do you call it? The what's that really hype music that they play?
House music? No.
No, not at Jim's house music.
No. Yeah, that wasn't at Jim's house.
Techno. Okay. They're huge in techno, you know. House. So when they go out there, you know, they have their parties. I mean, they're in the mountains, they're in the desert, you know, and they're just out there listening to this type of music, and their minds are like, I mean.
So where do you learn to play something like that? I mean, that's just, doesn't look like an instrument, right?
It's made out of 100% steel, and each one of these little frogs is an actual note.
Okay.
And just like the other instruments, I mean, you go on YouTube, you watch a couple of tutorials, and then really the instrument just teaches you how to play. You just practice, you develop little patterns, little techniques. You just play what sounds good to you.
Wow. Yeah.
That's great stuff. Ace Pretty champion awesome. In the house. Stick around, my friend. We're going to set a quick break. Back with more right after this. What a great
sound that. Miss part of the show or want to share it with a friend? Check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Mino and the Mayor will be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. We just saw a new side of Todd during our break. Todd?
It's always been there, though.
Yeah, he's like, anybody see anything sexual in this?
Stop
anything?
It.
All right. Just saying.
But it's kind of.
So, Dennis, you are a professional musician.
Horse feathers.
Exactly. Let me hear you try. I could not do it.
I don't know. I'm just winging it.
Well, you get more sound out of it than I could.
These are all targets, I assume.
Different notes. The tone is the sweet spot.
Hey-o.
Oh, my bad.
Dennis, pull up here real quick here. I mean, you're a musician. You're a professional musician. You had a career that's phenomenal. When musicians get together, what do you guys...
mean? You call me has-been?
Yeah, I know.
I'm more like I never was.
No. I didn't mean it that way.
It was the other guy that was 100 years old. Dennis is like in his 30s.
tough crowd around here.
But you guys have a lot of respect for other musicians.
Oh,
with
man.
Things,
heck yeah. Heck yeah. It's a pleasure to finally be face-to-face with you, my friend.
Awesome.
Right on.
Good to meet you, man.
The legend here.
Oh, come on.
But what is it about guys that get into music? I mean, you were a great football player. Dennis was a great athlete. He's in the Army and everything like that. But there's something about music that just you either got that certain chrome, and your family had it, Jim. I mean,
they sure respect
thing.
Each other.
Yeah.
And without two different doubt. Genres, right?
Oh, for sure, sure.
You know, your 80s and your 6,000 years ago. You know, I just, but musicians, I agree with John. I just, you guys like each other.
Oh, heck yeah. I'm more of a funk guy, believe it or not. Oh. People don't even realize that. I sing 80s stuff, but I'm really a
like a 70s funk guy.
I never knew that.
That's my bag, you know, or 60s music, like
really?
Like Mamas and the Papas, that type of thing. Or yeah, Tony Bennett, for example, or things like that nature. Things that I grew up on were,
you know, that's amazing. Not unusual, though. Other musicians I've talked to, it's surprising.
Tom Jones reference there. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
But it is true that you'd think that would be what you listen to, but they don't. It's amazing. Even with, like, a lot of the country singers were big into, like, classical music and things like that.
If it's a song that I'm doing in our shows, if I hear it on the radio, I got to turn it off. I don't want to lose that enthusiasm for those songs. You know what I mean?
Good point, yeah.
That's awesome.
But
keep it alive.
I just got to keep it, try to keep it as fresh as I can in my head, unless I have to learn something from it again. But
what I think is cool about you musicians is that you're still interested in other people's music. You know what I mean? It's not like, well, I do it this way, and this is my lane, and I want to stay in, I don't know, even pick any type of music, the funk or what he's talking about, the 60s, 70s. But you're really interested in learning about other people's music. And I think that's, like, really cool that, like, I'll tell people, like, I got a decent background in barbershop. And people are like, tell me more about it. Not like, well, that's weird. People are all interested in everybody's music. And I think that's what makes you guys, attractive in the sense of attractive.
It is a brotherhood or sisterhood or everything.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Just like anything else, you know. And I forgive me for thinking of this, but I think of it like we're like dogs.
Right.
You know, you see another dog's like, hey, I gotta find out a lot about this.
I gotta
absorb all of this because it's just so fascinating because it's not something that you're involved in. So you wanna be all in it and absorb it as fast as you can and be all in it.
I got what you were saying until you did the sniffing part. That kinda bothered me a little bit.
Well, I didn't hang my tongue.
Okay, I gotta ask you, like, did your family listen to your own albums?
Not as much as you would think.
You know? Did we have any samples of that? I didn't know Jim had an album out. No one told me.
No, family? My dad did. Oh, not me.
They were on the Ed Sullivan show.
Yeah, what?
That
wasn't me. That was my dad. No,
his uncles.
They were
world renowned. Wow.
Yeah, they were very, very good. So anyway, that's just barbershop.
How many albums did they put out?
Yeah, quite a few. Six, seven. Under Decca was their label.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was pretty cool back then.
Gee, Decca was huge.
I don't know that we even... I don't know. I guess he'd come home and we saw him on TV.
It was like, just dad.
It was just like, it wasn't a thing.
What flute did you have there, Ace?
Yeah.
Huh?
What flute do you
have?
What
else you got there? Let's talk about you.
Oh, yeah. No worries. This is a new one of mine. This is called a Chinese Holisei flute.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this one goes back about 16,000 years ago.
Unbelievable.
And it's not pretty just cheap. Indigenous to China. It's also indigenous to the local Hmong community too as well. So cool. It has a really, it's kind of hard to explain, a really unique sound
okay.
to it.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Kind of mystic.
You kind of know you're not in Green Bay anymore.
Okay. And that,
ooh, I just sounded echoey. Yes. That is haunting.
Anybody else see the snake coming out of the back?
Yeah.
That's what this is. It's the Chinese version of the snake charmer.
Right.
I love it.
I'm
charmed.
That's what I was seeing. Okay, awesome. So that's that.
Yep.
What are that copper? It is weird.
Yep. And that's the same as they're trying to put the snake in that Theta State, you know, sure. where they're like, they know they're there, but they don't know they're there.
Theta and State. I played college football, but
Friday,
never, I'm
Friday.
The event's coming up. There are some sororities in the theater.
Give it to
too.
Us, Todd.
The event's coming up Friday, 6:30. You can check it out on Facebook for the event, but make sure and go and see that in Manitowoc.
Outstanding. Ace, you're the man. I don't like you. He's a great football player, great musician, great chef. Dang, I'm nobody.
Ace, this is great.
Everybody's cooler than us, Jim.
What I think is...
We gotta go. We're out of time. Right. Thanks, everybody. See ya.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.